Today is April 10th, 2018. My name is Preston Mulling, and I'm interviewing Professor Tessa Carr in her office in Corbley Hall for my first year seminar class at Marshall University. Our FYS class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power and value of asking well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in response to those well-crafted questions. Frank Sesno's book, Ask More, has served as an inspiration for this interview. This interview will be focused on the theme of accounting. Professor Carr, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. What made you choose to follow accounting?
Well, when I was in high school, I took a Principles of Accounting class, and I just loved it. It just reminded me of a puzzle, and I liked how everything balanced, and it all worked out, and you could kind of check your own work. So I really liked that portion of it, and I think a lot of, at least what originally drew me, was it had a lot of algebra in it, so I liked algebra, so... and then as I got further along in my academic career, the more accounting I took, the more tax classes I took, and I had a few internships in tax, then I just liked it better.
Just clicked.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you would have done different to prepare yourself better?
There's two things that I regret looking back. One is the study abroad program. I really like to travel, and when I was in school, I'd always been encouraged to study abroad, but I just didn't. And granted, it probably wouldn't have helped me with my career per se, but it would just give me an extra experience that I could have looked back on. And then the other, which I actually is really important in not only accounting, but in just in life in general, is I wish I would have really gotten to know my classmates more. I mean, I got to know some of them, because accounting's a small world. West Virginia's a small world. I mean, it all depends on who you know. So looking back on it, I really wish I would have, one, got to know my classmates more and better, and kept in touch with a lot of them, just so I can call on them now to see if they ask for favors or ask them questions or anything.
Is your career everything you expected it would be?
I'm not sure what I expected quite. I'm new to the faculty side, so I think I'm still learning that whole aspect. In public accounting, I think so. I think it was, I didn't really expect to have as many in public accounting. I went public accounting just because I liked the work, and I didn't really think about having to sell stuff or network, how important networking was. And so having had to do that, I'm not sure if I would have expected that, but I did end up having to have more face time with clients or get to know other people in the business community as well.
What all have you done up to this point to get you where you are? What schools, what?
Okay, well, I went to undergrad here at Marshall. I got my accounting degree, and I liked econ, so I had an economics minor. And then in West Virginia, to become certified, a certified public accountant, you have to have 150 credit hours. So I went ahead and did my MBA. They had an MBA with an emphasis in accounting here at that time. It was before we now have the MSA program, so I probably would have done that. It was a little shorter. But I went ahead and went straight through, so I did my undergrad and then went straight through and did my graduate degree. So now I have my master's in business administration as well. I then took the CPA exam, and to prepare for that, I did the Becker review course, which I would recommend, but there's all kinds of different review courses that you could study with. Sat for my CPA exam. And another thing also during both undergrad and graduate school, I did a lot of internships. So I was able to get, I think, 6 hours school credit for my internships, plus they were paid, plus I got more experience. So I had an internship at Somerville & Company here in Huntington. Smith, Cochran, and Hicks in Charleston, Arnett, Carpus, Tuesman, which was Arnett and Foster at the time, in Charleston, and Dixon, Hughes, Goodman in Charleston as well. So I got experience in both tax and audit, bookkeeping, and it really helped me decide which direction I wanted to go in after I graduated. It also let me pick which employer I wanted to go with, and it helped me really click what I was learning in school and how to apply it in the real world. But the CPA exam really, especially in public accounting, I mean, you can move up a lot faster, and some firms you can't move up to a certain level if you don't have your CPA, and everyone just recognizes his letters. Let's see, what else did I do after that? I have since obtained my CFP, my Certified Financial Planner designation, and CGMA, which is Chartered Global Management Accountant. And those just help supplement my accounting practice. And then I've worked in tax, and a lot of, even still, I do attend a lot of networking events and just try to keep my name out in the community. Serve on boards and just all kinds of different things to help give back to the community, but then also help financial literacy throughout the community, and just help with get my name out there and help with the community.
Okay, and what people in your life have been the most influential?
A lot. Let's see, this one's a hard one. My parents, of course, they're very, they have high expectations, and therefore they've taught me good work ethic, and they've taught me to have high expectations for myself. And then all the professors here at Marshall, they've always been very helpful. My coworkers here now, they've always been really helpful on, well, I'm not sure how to treat this situation, what any advice. And then some of my former coworkers at Arnett, Carvis, Huseman, they've been definitely instrumental in guiding my career.
Okay, and are you happy with where you are in life right now? Or do you think that there's some steps that you think you can still take to?
Well, there's definitely steps to take. I enjoy my position now. I'm an instructor here at Marshall. Now, my position right now is a term position, so technically I could get fired at any point. So in order for me to get tenure or apply for a tenure track position, then I would need my PhD or my doctorate. So that's what I'm looking at next, is obtaining a PhD or doctorate or some sort of terminal degree. And I think that goes along the lines of like just accountants and specifically, and a lot of people in general are very emphasize lifetime learning and or lifelong learning or whatever you want to call it. Like, okay, so just because I have a job and I'm happy here now, that doesn't mean that I can just plateau, you know? So there's always something else better that I can do. There's always something more that I could do. So that I think those two go hand in hand.
And my next question really kind of goes along with the last one. You mentioned wanting to possibly get your doctorate. So, like, what kind of goals, or do you still have goals that you want to achieve further beyond this? I mean, it relates a lot to what we just went over. But.
So, I would like to, I do like it here, and I do plan on staying here. So, I would plan on getting my PhD or my doctorate degree. So, that's a little long-ish term, I guess, like in the next 4 to 5 years. I was actually just talking to one of my former employers, and his suggestion, which it would be a really cool thing, is to one of my long-term, and he suggested it, and I think it would be, it's always been in the back of my mind, is to be chairperson of the AICPA. It's our national membership organization for CPAs, and they have a board of directors. So the chairperson, it's a year-long commitment. And, but steps to do that, I would have to be really involved in my state society and move up the ladder for there, be on the board of that, and then go on to the board member for the AICPA and then move up on the ranks for that. So that would be a longer-term goal.
When someone mentioned you in a discussion, is like, what would you want them to acknowledge about you? Your work ethic?
Work ethic would be a big one, and accountability. I hold myself accountable for anything I do. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Now, if I don't write it down, then I probably won't do it. I'll probably forget. But if I say something that I'm going to do something and I write it down, then I plan on doing it. I'm not the type that I'll just, you know, schedule a meeting and not show up, and I expect others to do the same.
You want everything to be close-ended. You don't want the open-ends. You don't want to leave anybody, like, just out in the dark.
You're right, exactly. And I'm very goal-oriented and task-oriented, so, like, if you and I are meeting and we agree on these five things, then we'll do these five things. Like, I just make sure it gets done.
Yeah, I agree. And our first year seminar class is focused on critical thinking. What is an example of critical thinking in your line of work or in your life? Please be specific, elaborate, tell me a story.
Well, so, I mean, in our principles class, principles one class, we're just learning like debits and credits. And it's just a little piece of the whole accounting world. And I think when I got the internship, actually, that kind of helped it click, because, you know, I was working on depreciation, and I was trying to calculate depreciation. And in my internship, I was at a client's, and I was with one of the partners at the time, and I didn't understand it, and he was just like, oh, create the depreciation entry. I'm like, okay, well, how do I do that? And he's like, oh, you just debit depreciation expense, credit accumulated depreciation. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I remember that. And it just clicked because, like, I had done all these problems in my principal's class, and I just, you know, you get all the homework problems, but it didn't really click as far as, well, I still need to do that for the company. Like, the company's still required to record their expenses, and the company's still required to calculate, well, how much should their accumulated depreciation be? And then also, taking that a step further is, well, when you actually create the financial statements, what are those being used for? I mean, most companies don't get their financial statements audited or reviewed or compiled by a CPA if they don't need to. I mean, it's just an unnecessary expense. So in that case, if they are getting audited financial statements, why are they getting those audited? Do they need to give them to a bank so the bank can make sure that they're financially sound? Or are they going to go public, and are they going to provide these financial statements to their potential investors and say, here, you know, look at these financial statements, invest in us? And so there's so many uses for the accounting information than just making the debit and credit entry.
I mean, you see it on paper, and just you have the whys. All these questions are why this, why do I do this? What does it help?
Mm-hmm.
How can this help? How does this help anybody?
Exactly.
I think that's the biggest part of it.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, even just the business owners, a lot of them don't understand accounting. And when especially the smaller companies, they'll just give you their bank statements and say, here's my information, and you have to record it all. And they have no clue. Like, they know cash is coming in and they know cash is going out, but then when you're done with it, you're giving them something that'll show them, okay, how much during the year did they actually collect, and how much of that is going towards salaries, or how much of that is going towards utilities expense. I do some accounting work for some smaller nonprofit companies, and I can tell, like, right away if we have a leak if we have a leaky faucet or something. It's just because the water bill skyrockets. So, I mean, otherwise, they might not know that a toilet is running, or well, why did we pay 3 times more in marketing fees this year than we did the year before? So unless you get that information into a format that your CEO or the readers of the financial information can look at and understand, then it'll just go in one ear and right out the other. So.
Okay, and the final question, what would you like to add that I haven't asked?
Well, my biggest suggestion, I guess, would be, I mean, you're going to be an accounting major, and it will be difficult, but it will be, like, well worth it in the end. I mean, a lot of, like, the principles classes, 215 and 216, they're for the general business majors, I mean, for everyone in the business school. So when you get into the 311, 312 classes, the upper level classes, they will get a lot harder, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, well, one, that you won't be able to pass, or two, just because you don't like one particular class doesn't mean that you still can't graduate with an accounting degree and do something completely different. So, I mean, we offer 5 or 6 different accounting type classes. Like, we have cost accounting, we have tax, we have financial accounting, and just because you don't like one doesn't mean that you couldn't go out and get a different job in accounting that you love. So there are a couple classes when I was in undergrad that I just could not stand, and I just didn't like the material, I didn't like any of it, and I haven't had a look at it since then, you know. So I'd say don't get discouraged, I guess, if there's one class that you don't like. And I mean, the salaries are a lot higher. I mean, if you look at your starting salary of an accountant versus the starting salary of other business majors, it's up there.
I feel like there's, I mean, I'm still relatively new to it, but I feel like there's a need. You're always going to have an accountant.
That's true. That's very true. There's always going to be a need for accountants. And even with one question that was asked of me, I don't even remember where it was, but was, well, with all the automation and the computers and everything, how does that change the accounting profession? Well, you might not need, like, your bookkeepers or your data entry people, because the computers, you could just scan a piece of paper and the computer can read it and tell you what it says. Well, so then instead of the data entry accountant, you'll need people that will think through and plan for different situations, or be the advisor, be able to answer the questions. Well, if a business owner comes up to you and says, oh, well, I'm thinking about buying this piece of equipment, should I do it? You can answer that question. So just being able to think through a situation, analyze the financial piece, but then also think through, does it make sense, just common sense, yeah, in general. So there will always be a need, and I mean, our role might change a little bit, but there's always, definitely always a need for accountants.
All right, thank you. That ended up being 18 minutes.
Okay.